Francisco time, 7 o'clock. Time now for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Jerry Nachman, and Laurie Fisher will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful holiday and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope you can take the time to participate for the next hour or so anyway. And that number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. I'm coughing up a piece of ham. And if you'd like hear us online, you can do that anywhere in the world at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like to email us with any sort of comment or question, we don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, or like to listen to it anyway, it should be available soon after our show is over at kalw.org, along with some other sites, I think, have them too, and some of our older shows as well. So again, that number is 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever else Laurie has brought with him. So, again, 415-841-4134. A bunch of our lines are open, so give us a call as soon as you can. We're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman's New Year's resolutions include gaining 5 pounds, exercising less, and not being so darn nice to people.
Okay.
This, that sounds like very easily attainable.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try my best.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, although he assumed that Christmas was actually over, Laurie Fisher was surprised to learn that we are not even midway through the 12 days of Christmas. And according to his calculations, since we are on day 5, at any moment, his true love should be handing over 5 golden rings, along with numerous calling birds, French hens, turtle doves, and a bunch of partridges. It's likely to be quite a mess.
And on Christmas Eve, the only thing that came down our moderator Dana Rodriguez's chimney was a disgruntled squirrel.
All right.
Is that true?
Yes, temporarily. And we start with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, well, Laurie's introduction inspired me I remembered a question I wanted to do about the 12 days of Christmas. As usual, the New York Times and other media outlets did their annual tabulation of what the various items would cost, and I think it's up to $37,000 for everything. So what is or are the most expensive item on the 12 days of Christmas, and what is or are the least expensive? One guess apiece. And you got to get them both right to get a...
But when we buy one, like when we buy the 5 golden rings, is it the price of one ring that we're looking for?
Yeah. Or yeah.
I think one of the most expensive is the swans.
Swans is the most expensive, $1,000 each.
Yeah.
Okay. A gold ring isn't $1,000,
well, huh? No, you can have a gold ring for a couple hundred bucks.
But you can't get a swan that cheap.
No, swans are above $1,000, I know that.
Okay, so we want to take a crack at the least expensive?
Well, now I have to remember all those things.
Yeah, well, a pear tree can't be much, so I'm going to go with a partridge.
Partridge is right.
Yeah.
$15 each.
And a pear tree is probably $20.
I don't know what a pear tree is.
A little one.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get them. You can't just give the partridge without the pear tree, can you? Mm-hmm. I'll check my history.
Yeah. All right. Give us another question, Jerry.
All right. What two senators have the most seniority?
That means they've been there the longest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feinstein one?
No. Right, this give you is, two guesses each.
This is non-party specific. In other words, it's just the ones that have been there the longest, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing to do with the party. Yeah.
How about Harry Reid?
No. That's a good guess.
He's the majority leader.
One is a Democrat and one is a Republican.
Right. Can you tell us how long they've been there?
I can't tell you anything because I don't know.
All right.
That's the main reason. Somewhere in the vicinity of 30 years, I think, something like that.
Orrin Hatch?
Orrin Hatch is one. Very good.
Oh, good.
Okay.
So that's the Republican.
I have to think about that.
Okay. Laurie, any guesses?
Well, I had my two for Reid and
Feinstein.
Oh, yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't think of a longer serving
Democrat. Okay, we're looking for the Democrat now. Okay.
All right. Good. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon, City.
Hello.
I have a correction to make to you.
Uh-oh.
Somebody mentioned last week that Honey West was the first series to feature a policewoman. Ron.
It's wrong?
It was not Honey West. It was a show called Decoy, which featured Beverly Garland.
B-Girl?
Yeah, it was a show called Deke, a feature of a policewoman in a lead. You said it was Honey West, but it was actually a show called Decoy.
Decoy, Decoy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, with Beverly Garland.
Well, I got my information. My information actually came from a TV guide I read in the doctor's office.
It's a long show. I found it out on the Wikipedia entry on Beverly Garland.
And I thought Honey West was a superhero, like a spy. But.
Okay, did you check the years to make sure it was correct?
It was a syndicate series. It ran for one season.
Oh, well, maybe Jerry saw it as a, what was the first network show? Maybe that was it.
That could be it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting me off. Okay, good correction.
Good save.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Oh, yeah. So, I'm sorry. What questions do you have?
Yeah. In 1971, both the News Seekers and the Hillside Singers were competing in the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart with recordings of the same song based on a soft drink jingle. What was the song?
Say it again.
In 1971, the News Seekers and the Hillside Singers were competing in the Billboard Hot 100 singles charts with recordings of the same song based on a soft drink jingle.
Is it I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing,
yeah,
the Coke song?
Yeah, a bell.
All right. I could probably still sing it, but I won't.
And there's my second question. Robert Guest has a distinction of acting.
Robert who?
Robert Guest has a distinction of acting and directing in episodes of a television series. What was it?
I still don't get the name.
Robert Guest. He directed a film called An American Dream.
Robert Giff?
Guest. G-I-S-T.
Never heard of the guy.
Okay. Just give the whole question once more, please.
He has a Robert Guest has a distinction of acting and directing in an episode of a television series. What was it?
So he acted and directed.
Yeah. Okay. And he also directed one episode.
No idea.
He's unknown to us.
What decade is this?
Oh, this was late 50s.
Okay.
Dangerous assignment.
Yeah.
Decoy.
Man Against Crime.
Decoy, yeah.
Man Against Crime.
He was great in Decoy.
And not only that, he dressed in women's clothes.
I'll give you a clue. It was a serious career site for its violence.
Ooh.
Oh.
In the 50s.
The Untouchables.
Yes.
Very nice.
He appeared in an episode called, he played the gunman in an episode called, hired by to assassinate Anton Cermak. It was called Yen Hired Assassin. He directed an episode whose title escapes me at this moment.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My gun is hot. They were always called things like that. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. So I have a list of the top 11 grossing movies of the year. But only two of them.
I thought you were going to ask another one of those, the favorite book.
I have that.
Okay.
I have that. But
okay.
It's my year-end kind of thing. I like to collect
I've been thinking about that question.
All right. Well, I have it here ready to go.
All right.
But of the top 11 grossing movies of the year, only two were not sequels or not based on characters who were in other movies. In other words, these are the first time these characters appeared in movies. And no animated films in the list. So of the top 11 grossing films of 2013, only two, disappointingly, were not sequels or based on characters who are in other movies. What are they?
I couldn't name you three movies.
World War Z.
That's one of them. That came in 11.
I actually saw that.
Yeah, very good.
Never missed those zombie
happen?
Movies.
Yes.
Never
did that
them.
Happen?
What?
How did that happen?
I love zombie movies.
Yeah.
You
I
do?
See them all, yeah. all the decent ones.
And that was a decent one, right?
Yeah. What's the difference? Okay.
Okay, so we're looking for one that made more money than that.
Zombies and vampires.
As far as I know.
I don't go to see vampire movies.
It had no zombies in it, this other one. Yeah. Okay, so only one in the top 10.
I know you all in the audience think less of me now, but still.
Oh, no. I certainly do.
Not our zombie listeners.
All right.
I love the way you say it. I don't see vampire movies, but I see zombie movies.
That's right.
Like that's an accomplishment.
I'll have to live with that, I guess. Let's see. All right, so guess give the question.
So now we're in the top 10 movies of the year. Only one is not a sequel or has characters that weren't in previous movies. What's the one that's left? You got World War Z.
Okay.
That was 11th. We're looking for the one that's in the top 10.
All right.
And all the others are just remakes of Iron Man and The Hunger Games.
Despicable.
And, yeah. Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
See, those zombie movies looking better all the time, aren't they?
No.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Jerry Lorett. Lori, excuse me. And
thank you.
This is Judy in Berkeley.
Hi.
And I want to guess on the longest serving senator.
Sure.
Is it Barbara Mikulski?
No, it is not.
Oh, that's a good guess. That's good.
Good guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about movies, and Lori hasn't asked a book question, which I probably haven't shot.
Okay.
All right. Keep your ears open.
Okay. Good night.
I don't think our audience is familiar with these movies. To be.
Oh, yeah. I think they will be.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I came across this question today. Who are the first two women in the United States to do paid celebrity endorsements for a product? They're famous women, or else I wouldn't ask the question. Who were the first two women in the United States to do a paid celebrity endorsement for a product in the United States, U.S. product?
Well, Eleanor Roosevelt did a
margarine.
Margarine. Blue Bonnet margarine.
This is before that.
Way before that.
Yeah.
Was it 19th century even?
Okay. It might have been.
Like Pocahontas? You mean going
Pocahontas,
back?
Yeah.
Or Calumet Farm.
Land of Lakes, I think, is more like it. Yeah, yeah. She was the butter competition.
Yeah. Okay.
How about Sarah Bernhardt?
That's a very good guess, and she was in the top five, the first five.
In the chronology. So there are two before, or at least two before her.
Yeah.
But it's in that era.
Before her, so she was late
1800s? Mm-hmm. Early 1900s.
Well, she was around until the beginning of the 20th century.
And were the celebrities show business people, or more like
they have connection with,
or
no, they're not political.
Good deed doers.
Not political.
How about Annie Oakley?
Yes, Annie Oakley is one.
Very good. What did she endorse? Bullets?
No, it was. I think it was cigarettes. I didn't write that down, but I think it's cigarettes.
What was her era? 1890s? Early 1900s?
Yeah, and she became a celebrity by around the 1880s, so, yeah.
Oh, that early. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got one.
She couldn't bake a pie, according to Annie Get Your Good. So probably
I bet she couldn't realize.
So that's good. Okay, that's a great
Well, Dolly recipe. Madison for ice cream, right?
No, the snack cakes. Snack cakes, yeah. No.
She was long dead.
No, she didn't get paid.
You don't know Dolly Madison ice cream?
No.
Well, and I not Dolly Madison.
Not Little Debbie either, in case you were going to say that.
No, there is a Dolly Madison ice cream, you know.
Is there?
In the East, I don't think it's.
But it's not. It came after Dolly
Madison. She didn't earn a cent from it.
I think so, yeah.
All right. So once more, I'm looking for the first two women to do paid celebrity endorsements in the United States. Annie Oakley is one. The other has a show business connection. And second question, what very famous author introduced skiing to Switzerland? And believe it or not, they had never skied there until this author introduced it.
Skiing?
Hardly seems possible.
Yes, right? In the 19th century.
Yeah. Some author says, let's ski. And was he or she skiing? Is that how it came along?
Yes.
All right.
What very famous author introduced skiing to Switzerland in the 19th century?
Is this author known for his, I'm going to say it's a, guess it's a man, his skiing or athletic
shouldn't
ability?
That, but, I shouldn't assume that, but no.
Okay.
No.
Henry James.
No.
The least likely he's guy to be found on the slopes.
An early X Games proponent. Most people don't know that about Henry James.
Okay.
So once more, what very famous author introduced skiing to Switzerland in the 19th century? And
this author was not Swiss?
No, this author was not Swiss.
Right.
Just happened to be on a vacation there.
Robert Louis Stevenson.
No, I don't think he did much athletic either.
Well,
And so this person skied, right? And,
yeah,
and then wrote
skied.
About it and made it and said, hey, I'm going to take skiing from where I'm from and bring it here. So where was worldwide skiing going on? All over the place.
Not my sport.
Yeah. And again, the first two, I'm looking for the first two women to do paid celebrity endorsements in the United States. We have Annie Oakley, that was number two, who's number one. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Evie in Berkeley.
Hi, Evie.
Evie,
I'm sorry.
I think Carl Levin was the longest-serving Democrat in Congress.
Well, this is for the current Congress.
He's
still there. No, you're right. No, it is not him.
It's not Carl Levin.
Yeah, no, okay. He's been there a long time. You're right. No, but not him.
If not the first, he's certainly the second.
Maybe.
And I have a guest for... she's more modern than Annie Oakley, but Esther Williams?
Not Esther Williams.
Not Esther Williams.
This is the 19th century we're looking for.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
Happy
New Year.
Thank you.
How about Jenny Lind?
That's a very good guess, but no, not Jenny Lind. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
Good.
I have two very good questions for you again. So the first one is kind of... You tell me what you think about it. Between 1968 and 2008, that's 40 years, how many Americans were killed by guns?
I had a similar question to that, I think, but it doesn't help.
Well, now you can ask it. Let's see.
You mean in America, of course.
Americans.
Yeah.
How many people in America?
For what's the span of years?
40 years.
40, yeah.
40 years.
150,000.
Higher. I think that's especially on holiday.
That's a holiday.
Go ahead, higher.
225,000.
Higher.
Now you're not talking about the war.
You mean civilians. You don't mean wartime, of course.
Disgusting. The answer is disgusting. 1.4 million people.
Mm.
Wow. More than all the wars.
Yeah.
The United States have been involved.
Yeah.
It is just really ridiculous.
It's amazing,
We have to talk about guns. Okay, my second question about Nobel Prizes. Okay, so the first U.S. president to win a Nobel Prize, and the second part of the question is the only scientist who had two Nobel Prizes, happened to be American scientist, to give you a hint, chemistry, Stanford.
Well, the first president is Theodore Roosevelt.
That is good, very good. How about the only scientist in the whole world that won twice, unshared, he did not share with anybody, Nobel Prizes in chemistry.
Oh, in chemistry.
And he is taught at Stanford.
Isn't it the guy who ended up going into race stuff?
No.
No, not
no,
him.
Shockley?
Not Shockley.
No,
okay. Not Shockley, but was in physics.
Walter Brattain.
No, very famous. Vitamin C.
Oh, Linus Pauling?
Linus Pauling. But Linus Pauling...
He's the only one. Yeah, he's the only one.
He won two, but his second one was for peace. It was not for chemistry.
You're right.
Yeah, very good.
But he's the only one who won two Nobel Prizes without sharing with somebody.
Right.
Now, vitamin C,
I can leave that to the audience, which is there are four people that won shared Nobel Prizes. Altogether, only the whole history of the Nobel Prize. There is four people who shared.
I think they have a rule now that they only give it to no more than three at one time.
Well, no, these people shared. I mean, each.
Yeah, this is before the rule, I think. Yeah. Okay.
They had two. Each of them have two, but they were four of these scientists that.
All right. Wait. I have to go back because so when you say the Nobel Prize for chemistry,
for anything.
For
anything.
What's the question?
There's only four people who shared Nobel Prizes.
You mean in all the categories put together?
Two. See, people share Nobel Prizes all the time, but this four people.
Well, the ones who did the DNA, that
Watson and Crick?
You're right. And Crick. What is his name?
Watson and Crick. Francis Watson. James Crick. No?
In English.
Yeah. We got it. You got it right.
Yeah. About the Curies? Did they?
Yes. Yeah. No, this is Marie Curie. Becquerel did not. Okay. Marie Curie, did win two Nobel Prizes. Okay, there's two left. Why don't we leave the other two for the audience?
All right, let's do that.
Yeah, you're right. Frederick, he just, I didn't hear his name. Frederick Sanger was a British scientist that won twice for the DNA and chemistry as a whole.
All right.
Okay, we'll leave the other two to the audience.
Thanks, Eve.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Paul from the Richmond District.
Hi, Paul.
Is Jay Rockefeller the other senator?
No, it is not.
That's also a good guess.
Okay.
A good guess, but no.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Yesterday's Chronicle wrote about a family whose members included Montana, Hunter, and Brooklyn. Do you know which family this is?
Yeah, Joe Montana and his wife.
No.
Oh.
I was kidding.
You mean those are the names of people in the family?
Three members of a family, Montana, Hunter, and Brooklyn.
I read that same story. I thought, what weird names, except for...
Well, Brooklyn is a pleasant name.
Do you remember which family?
I'm thinking.
There's a Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah. But it's probably not her.
Is that the model?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Brooklyn, Montana, and who was the third?
Hunter.
Yeah, God, I just read it. Ah.
So these are the first names of people in the same family.
The correct. Kids of the famous couple or famous person. Yeah.
All right. Celebrities, huh?
Oh, wait a minute. It's not. No, it's not. It's not the Newsoms, is it?
Yes, it is.
Newsom.
All right. I knew. I think I thought
it was Gavin.
Gavin and his
very
wife.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Montana Newsom.
Thank you very much.
Happy New Year.
All right. You too.
I don't understand. Why do they name two of them for cities, a city and a state, and the third not for a city and a state? Know.
They didn't divulge
no consistency at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ray in Berkeley.
Hi, Ray.
Hi. I have a guess for one of the celebrity endorsements.
Yes.
And if you know who it is, I have two questions for you or the audience. Was it Fareda Mazar Spiropoulos?
Wow.
Who's that?
Well, that's the first question. What's her stage name? Second, what's her nationality?
Well, if I tell you what I have and it's not that, then I just blew my question. Was this woman an actress?
No.
Okay, then it's not the same one.
That's not her primary skill. She may have had some acting ability.
What was her name again, sir?
Primary.
Fareda Mazar Spiropoulos.
Well, sounds Greek.
It does sound Greek to me.
Are we okay?
Gosh, it would help if I knew who this was. And this is the 19th century.
Yeah. And I'll say, since we're, I thought you guys might get it, the three questions are, what was her stage name? What was her nationality? And... the third one may give it away. Why is the city of Chicago indebted to her?
Oh, you mean Little Egypt?
That's it.
Oh,
nice.
That was
you know her nationality and why she's so valuable to Chicago?
Well, she was at the Chicago World's Fair. She was the star attraction. Well, I mean, she didn't start out as a star attraction, but she ended up as a star attraction.
Scandalous.
And it was losing money hand over fist. Nobody was going to the stupid exposition until she made it a hit.
The 1890... No, that's...
Yes.
1893, yeah.
1893.
Right.
And we could leave out there if you... Well, it's a little obscure. Her nationality was not Greek, actually.
Okay.
And it's unlikely... that someone will know, but she was Armenian.
Oh, all right.
And we still sing about her.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
Was she one of the people, the people that early endorsement of a product, Dana?
I wonder.
She is. She's not. I don't remember seeing that in the first five anyway. But I don't doubt that she did. I do remember the movie with Deborah Padgett and Jeff Chandler called Little Egypt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Classic.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And, Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. I have five sets of film movie firsts. I'm going to give you the way it's done here. I'm going to give you the titles, and you tell me why they what they share.
Oh, I see. Oh, you mean so they all share something?
Yeah, they all share something first, the first something.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, how can five things all share?
Are these five different things?
Be the first.
Are these five? Like, one of them is going to be the first?
I'm sorry, I'm confusing questions. Forget about the first idea. They all share something.
Okay, so what do these five films have in common?
Exactly.
Nothing
okay.
first.
All right.
That's easier. Okay. Okay. The Bridges of Madison County, Funny Face, Blow Up, Spider-Man, and Rear Window.
And are these the only five movies that do this?
No, no.
Okay, so these...
They're all the one of the leads is a photographer.
That's it.
Oh.
Very good, okay.
Very
next.
Nice. Oh, so it's... Okay, very nice. Very good.
Here's the next set. The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Forrest Gump, Lolita, Match Point, A Matter of Life and Death, and Two for the Road.
Once more on that one, please.
The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Forrest Gump, Lolita, Match Point, A Matter of Life and Death, Two for the Road.
They all have voiceover narrations, at least the ones I know of do.
I don't know. I can't
That's
speak to
it.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Forrest Gump. A Matter of Life and Death, I love. It's a great film.
What is that? What is that about? What? Who's in that?
It's a fantasy.
Oh, okay.
Well, David
okay.
Niven.
Okay.
But it's something internal in the film. It's not like something in the credits.
No.
It's Gump. Lolita.
Okay, I'll give you a third one.
Right.
This is a new category.
It's a new category.
Right.
Good Night and Good Luck, Grand Hotel, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, My Little Chickadee, The Red Shoes, and Spider-Man.
Spider-Man turns up again, huh? Good night and good luck. Okay.
Okay, and the last...
Oops, there's more.
The next one, the next title's Airplane, I Want to Live, Moulin Rouge, Oklahoma, Safety Last, and That Thing You Do.
Which Moulin Rouge is that? The new one or the old one?
I don't have any idea.
So Airplane, I Want to Live, Moulin Rouge, Safety Last, That Thing You Do?
That Thing You Do, yeah, and That Thing You Do, yeah.
That's it? Five?
Yeah, and here's the last group.
One more. Wow.
Die Hard, Edward Scissorhands, Eyes Wide Shut, The Lion in Winter, Moonstruck, and The Thin Man.
All right. And let's go to a call.
Okay.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're hard.
Mm. Are you there, Cole? Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. This is Lynn from Reno.
Hi, Lynn.
And I just have a guess on, would that somebody who's presently alive, the longest congressperson?
Yes, I think he said currently serving.
Currently, still alive and still serving and...
Oh, okay. I didn't understand the question.
Cause we presume he's alive anyway.
I was thinking Thurman, but he's already dead, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's still dead, yes.
Very, very dead.
He hit the bucket.
Yes.
Okay, then. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, there's been a lot of clamor for the book question, so here it is. I'm asking the most famous book set in these five states. All well-known books, in this case, all novels, just like they've always been. Alabama is the first one.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Maine, Montana, Colorado, and the last one will be Hawaii. So the most famous book, by whatever poll they did, and they've been pretty accurate, I think, set in Alabama, Maine, Montana, Colorado, and Hawaii.
Well,
give you each two guesses.
Isn't Alabama To Kill a Mockingbird?
It is. Very good.
Well, Hawaii has to be Hawaii.
It is. That was sort of the gimme.
That's the easy one, yeah. Okay.
And Montana, isn't that a river runs through it?
It is.
All right.
Well, that's cleaning the board. Maine and Colorado are left.
I'm not Maine. I don't know.
Colorado.
Maine.
Novel in Colorado.
I'll leave that up one out there then.
Well,
in Colorado.
That, okay. Colorado.
And is in that, both cases, I think it's fair to say, especially in Colorado, the setting matters. And I've tried to pick ones in which the setting seems to be significant. Mm-hmm. It's certainly
is it
true
Centennial?
In Colorado. No.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, gentlemen, it's Hayes from San Francisco.
Hi.
The 19th century author did The Skiing in Switzerland. Was that Dickens?
It was not Dickens.
Wow.
It wasn't Dickens. Okay. And then another answer in that multi-part question before with all the films rattled off. One of them, I think, was movies that were turned into stage productions or plays afterwards.
No, that's not. No, no, that's not. No, that's not one. That's a good category, but it's not one of these.
No, it isn't. And then the other one, that it was the opposite way around, that it was films that were made after space productions.
No.
All right. Well, hey.
That's a very inventive guess, but no.
I only ever call not to hear a bell go off. That's the only reason I ever call.
You succeeded.
Thanks, Thomas.
Right. As one person once said, he gets the Nobel Prize.
Yes. Boom, boom, boom. See ya.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That wasn't my line. Somebody said it years ago.
All right. This probably won't be too difficult a question, but I thought this was the week to ask it. This is according to catalogs.com, which did a survey. These are the 10 most regifted items after Christmas.
Oh,
the 10 most regifted, and these are generic, okay? So don't give me a brand name. The 10 most regifted items after Christmas or the holidays in general, and I'll give you each two guesses.
Sweater.
Clothing.
Okay.
Good enough. Good.
Box of candy. Because I just did that myself.
And we almost did it.
No.
No.
Really?
No.
Since when do you start giving away candy? Bring it here.
He doesn't. He gets the regifting.
Someone invited me to their house, and I thought it'd be nice to. I have too much candy that people gave me, so.
10-year-old.
How about lava lamps? They don't make those anymore, do they?
No.
So the fruitcake isn't one of them, right?
Yes, fruitcake is.
Really?
Of course. Of course it is.
Who is right. Okay.
All right. So fruitcake and clothing we have so far. I'll give you one more guess, Jerry.
Okay. Oh, gee. Gosh. Let me think later. I can't get
anything
right now.
Again, these are the 10 most regifted items in the United States survey done. So far we have, after the holidays, so far we have fruitcake and clothing.
How about scarves? So that counts as clothing?
That's clothing, yeah.
Oh, clothing. Oh, okay.
I get another guess or no?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'll give you one later. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. at 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And we are a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions quickly.
Well, I don't want to repeat the whole movie thing.
The
That's
movie
a long
thing.
One.
Forget about that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Throw that question out.
I think the others have been answered.
Do we still have the senator one, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Right. Yeah. I asked, who are the two longest-serving current senators? And Dana got Orrin Hatch. I'm looking for the other one.
You're looking for the Democrat.
The Democrat.
Okay.
And I have, of the top 10 grossing movies of 2013, only one left. Is not a remake, a sequel, or one that was based on characters that were in other movies. And then there's two books, the most famous book that was set, according to this list, in Colorado, and the most famous book that was set in Maine.
And I have a list of the first two women to do paid celebrity endorsements for a product in the United States. Number two is Annie Oakley. Who is number one? I will say this person, it was an actress, best known as an actress. Known for other things, too, but mostly as an actress. Not Sarah Bernhardt, because that's been tried. And what very famous author introduced skiing to Switzerland in the 19th century? Believe it or not, they did not have skiing in Switzerland before the 19th century. What famous author introduced it to that country? And the I have a list of the 10 most often regifted items, according to catalogs.com. The 10 most often regifted items. So far we have fruitcake, which is passed around. I think it's the only one fruitcake that's passed around constantly. And clothing. So what are the others?
Books.
More specific. It has to be a kind of a book. I mean, a certain kind. In this instance, I can't just take books.
Kind of a book.
Well, in other words, a subject, a type of book, you know.
Self-help.
No. No.
A novel.
No, but I mean, you see what I mean. Yeah. It's the type. It's not quite.
Cookbook.
You're right. All right. Cookbook. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good.
That's right.
We get each get half credit on that.
All right. Yeah. In case you don't want to learn how to cook the Maltese way or something like that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, David.
And I have what I think are a few answers.
Okay.
Maybe. Lori, for your question, is there any chance that the books in Maine and Colorado are written by the same author?
They are written by the same author.
Really?
So I'm going to guess The Shining.
Yes.
For Colorado and Misery.
Well, you know, they list Carrie, but Misery, I'm going to give Carrie, give you credit. Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah,
very
really
good.
Nicely
very
done.
Very good.
Yeah.
Right.
Clever.
And then I think I have a bunch of answers, actually. For skiing,
King lives in Maine, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. For skiing, was it Arthur Conan Doyle?
He was Arthur Conan Doyle. Very good.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I knew he was like an Olympic official way back when the London Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And then for your gift, re-gifting thing, what about gift cards?
No.
Ooh. No?
No.
Board games?
No.
No. Okay,
no.
Last one. Alcohol?
Yes.
Oh, I thought wine.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
I've done that myself.
We have four now? Four on the list?
Oh, no, there's one, two, three, four, five. Oh, six. Yeah, six left, four have been gone. Was that it?
Okay. No, I have a question for you,
okay.
Actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When Joe DiMaggio died, he left it in his will that he didn't want anything to be named after him. He actually made two exceptions. But his lawyer was obsessed if anything were named after him other than these two things.
Well, one is a playground in San Francisco.
No, he actually, that wasn't one. There were only two things that the city wanted to name a playground after him.
Oh, but I thought they actually did.
Yeah.
There was a huge controversy with his attorney.
I do remember that.
There were only two things in his will, though, that he actually allowed them to, that weren't to be contested.
That were not?
Had these things already been named after him or not?
No, they had not been named after him.
All right.
A bridge.
But the Bay Bridge was one of them.
Oh, he said it could be named after him?
He aimed pretty high, yeah.
Exactly.
That's nice.
Delusions of grandeur even for him.
Exactly. But
a planet.
Yeah, exactly.
A bridge or a... let's see.
So the other thing was in the Bay Area as well?
Exactly.
Okay. And they had talked about naming it after him, maybe.
No.
Oh, he thought they might.
He thought they might.
No, this was absolutely delusions of grandeur.
All right.
Catholic Church.
No.
St. Joseph's.
It is named after people in other cities in the Bay Area, not. But,
okay. All right.
Highway?
No.
Okay. No, this would be bigger than that if he had the Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
Did this thing that he was thinking about, did it already have a name on it?
It has a generic name.
Oh, generic.
It's a mountain?
It has a name.
A mountain?
No.
Or a hill?
Yeah. No.
A generic name. Okay.
It would be along the lines of the bridge. That is to say,
How about the San Francisco airport?
That's exactly it.
Oh, right.
Give our audience member credit for that. Yeah. Yes,
there you go. All right, great show as always.
Oh, thank you very much. Bye bye. And if you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. You have a line open, 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, this is Linda El Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
My husband was wondering about, on the 12 Days of Christmas question, what was the cost of the Lords a-leaping?
I don't know.
It just wasn't.
Lords come cheap these days.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. It just wasn't one of the two he was looking for. That's all.
Okay.
They're more than
right.
milks of making, maids of milking.
Yeah. Well, I have an easy question for you.
Yes.
About spam. First of all, what year did it originate? One guess each.
Well,
1941.
1841. No, 19.
Oh no.
How about 1918.
No.
It was between the wars, I think.
I think so. Well, now I do.
I don't know. I'll just say 1931.
Okay, 37.
Okay.
Okay, sort of a depression kind of thing.
Right.
Okay, and its name, what does it its name signify?
Well, it's an acronym, of course.
Is it an acronym?
It is an acronym. It is an acronym.
Okay. Yes.
It's...
thought to be, anyway.
Well, the M is meat.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's good.
Is the S special?
Yes.
Spiced. Spiced?
No, it's special.
Not spiced. She went with special.
Special.
Special meat.
Special processing of angry meat.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Specially
processed.
Spiced pork?
No, it's special.
It doesn't describe what kind
specially
of...
specially processed... animal meat.
It's good.
As opposed to what other kind of meat?
I know, yeah.
Human. Is the pea pork?
What was that?
Is the pea pork?
No, it's not. Doesn't specify what kind of meat.
Oh.
It's kind of the early version of Soylent Green, I think, basically.
So yeah, I think you got processed.
You know, I've never actually eaten it.
Specially processed.
That's unusual.
Specially processed.
Something meat.
American meat.
Right.
Oh, really?
American.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're taking full credit for that.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah, and then in World War II, apparently the soldiers got a lot of it, so they called it, they said its name was Special Army Meat. and there is a Spam Museum. Can you tell me what state that's in?
There is a Spam Museum. It's made by Hormel, and that's
Wisconsin?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, and the last question. Of course, another very important American food is McDonald's, and we ask a lot of questions about that. So I'd like you to tell me, if you can, the numbers in terms of sales for each of those with the 10% rule applies. So how many cans of Spam and how many McDonald's have been sold? And the numbers are...
You mean in total?
Yeah, and a little bit dated... The cans is the date is 2007, and the McDonald's figure is 2010.
Well, cans of Spam. Okay, let's see.
Well, McDonald's are in the billion by now, I suppose.
Oh yes,
it's billions and billions.
5 billion.
5 billion for which?
For the burgers.
Oh, you are way out of date.
Way out of date.
Well, that's no news.
I'll say 30 billion for McDonald's.
No, I have a quite a bit higher number.
Oh,
how about the cans of Spam?
Seven.
Seven what?
Cans of Spam.
Seven cans of Spam.
Yeah. They just keep getting re-gifted.
I'll say 1.5 billion.
Oh, okay. Well, your numbers are pretty low, especially on the McDonald's. Mm. The number is the official Spam from their...
We'll never get this. You better tell us.
Yeah, 7 billion. Now, McDonald's is not the official number, but it was extrapolated by somebody who was very mathematical and so forth. And so, shall I tell you how many that
is?
Yeah,
go ahead.
247 billion.
Wow.
And they count each patty as a burger, so if it was it was a Big Mac, that's two patties.
Ooh.
Okay.
Thanks, Linda.
It's a bunch for everybody on Earth.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye. We're still number one in a few things.
We are. Yeah. We invented Spam.
That's
and
right.
We'll lead the world in burger.
Let's see. Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay, who said, speaking of food, who said the only time to eat diet food is while you're waiting for the steak to cook?
Oops.
Can you tell us if this is a woman or a man?
I can't tell you anything like that.
You've never heard this person before? The name is not familiar to you?
Yeah, the name is familiar.
All right.
Will we get it out of recognition, like it's somebody we associate with states?
I'm not even telling you that.
Wow.
I think it's at first I thought it was somebody like Nora Ephron.
It's a great quote.
Yeah.
The only time he dies food is while you're waiting for the steak to cook.
Give us an approximate time. Has it been said recently? The last, you know, it seems recent with all the diet food going
What's
on.
What's recent?
30 last, years?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Norman Mailer?
Who?
Norman Mailer?
No. No. Yeah. I think he ever said anything about food.
Okay.
Although he did bite somebody's ear, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rip Torn's ear, I think. I won't tell you. You have to, well, see if our audience
All
can
right.
get it.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
I'm hoping that the lady celebrity is that intimate of Judge Roy Bean and the King of England, Lily Langtry.
You're absolutely right.
Very good.
Lily Langtry, very good.
Excellent.
And she also had an excellent miniseries of her very own on PBS.
Yes.
And I just want to say one more thing about Honey West.
Okay.
Honey West was not a policewoman at all.
Yes.
She was a private detective.
Her male partner, and she had a detective agency of their own.
Right. You're right. You're totally right.
Well, I should have said it was a police series, she wasn't a policewoman. Okay.
It was a detective series.
Detective
Boy,
series.
Who would have guessed so many people were fans of
her? A lot of Anne Francis.
I was a fan of Honey West.
I was a fan of
Anne
Francis.
Yeah. And Anne Margaret.
It only lasted one season.
No, it was two.
Well, Happy New Year, boys.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate
According
the information.
According to TV Guide, one season.
Really? Is that all? Okay. All right, yeah. I liked her mole.
Yes. We all did.
Beauty mark.
Their beauty mark, excuse me. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, did we do the celebrity children, Brooklyn and Montana?
No.
Yes,
yeah, we did.
We did, but go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say David Beckham and Posh Spice because they have a kid named Brooklyn, I think.
That's a kind of a popular name now. But no, it turned out to be the lieutenant governor of our state, Gavin Newsom.
Oh, maybe he's copying, I guess.
Maybe he is.
Yeah.
He might be right.
And then the Regis, I was thinking some kind of children's toy, like a teddy bear or socks, which kids hate.
Who would re-gift a teddy bear?
Oh, sorry.
Who would re-gift socks?
No, I can't.
Unused.
I can't.
Sorry, son, we're taking your teddy bear.
Well, if they already have 50, you know.
Good point.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Didn't somebody say gift cards?
Yes.
Okay, I was wrong. Gift cards was on the list. Sorry about that, caller. Or I don't know who it was.
It was a caller.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sir. And Lori, you have something very quick.
I do. So there is a celebrity personality who is said to be the inspiration for these three things. It's one person. He's the inspiration for Jason Robards' character in 1,000 Clowns. The same person is also the inspiration for the disc jockey, the DJ character in Jack Kerouac's novel On the Road. And he's also the inspiration, apparently, for Peter Finch's rant in Newsweek. Same person. Kind of better known now in this season, since we're looking at the clock, than another season.
Was this person known as a comedy writer?
Yes.
Like a Larry Gelbart kind of thing?
Yes, like a Larry Gelbart kind of thing, but not Larry Gelbart. He was known for other things besides being a comedy writer, but that's one of his main things he's known for.
Mel Brooks?
No. Good guess. So this celebrity personality was...
A rebel of some kind, obviously.
Yes.
A rebel.
Yeah. Yeah. A rebel rouser.
Yeah, a rebel
the
rouser.
The inspiration for the DJ in On the Road, for Jason Robards in 1,000 Clowns, and Peter Finch's rant in News Network. Sorry.
This person is not around anymore.
This person is deceased.
Deceased.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was he a TV personality?
Not a TV personality.
Not a TV personality.
A radio personality.
Yes.
Oh, who's that? Henry Morgan?
Oh, great guess.
Very good guess. Yeah.
Not Henry Morgan.
No.
But not a TV. I always thought about Ernie Kovacs. But
a radio personality should lead you
not
right
Gene
there.
Not Gene Shepard.
It's Gene Shepard.
Yes. Really? Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Great Gene Shepard.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think of him ranting. He's a little more quiet.
In person, he was quite a ranter.
Was he?
Yeah.
And
all right.
And on his radio show, he would.
On the radio show, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
He was funny, but he ranted.
Yes.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah. Hi, this is Marianne in Concord.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi. I have a re-gifting guest.
Yes.
Lotions or cosmetics?
No.
No?
No.
Man, I've done that a lot of times.
Well, you'll keep doing it, and you'll get it up in the top 10 eventually.
And all your friends know, too.
Yes.
Blankets, or, you know, like a lap robe kind of thing?
No. Can't give that to you.
That robe thing? What's that robe thing?
You know, you like, you have to put them over your lap when you're sitting
right.
They sell them, they're in all sorts of ugly plaids and stuff.
Right.
And I have a question.
Okay.
Why was Haight Street in San Francisco in the 60s made into a one-way street for a while?
In the 60s, it was made into a one-way street.
Did it have to do with tourism? With sightseeing buses?
Yeah, Summer of Love kind of thing.
It was after, it was not, it was probably 65, 66, somewhere in there.
Before the love.
For a while.
Well, no, my parents had a flower shop on Haight Street, a block from Ashbury in the 60s, so I knew the area quite well. I graduated high school in San Francisco in 1967.
Did the traffic travel west on Haight? Was that the way it went?
It traveled, I should remember that. It had traveled from, it had traveled east. Okay. It went from Stanion towards Masonic.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
So there's a logical reason for this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there's a logical reason for it.
Why?
Having to do with the inhabitants of Haight Street?
No, not the inhabitants. It's the tourism answer is.
Oh, the tourism. Oh, okay.
So what? It wasn't the sightseeing buses that started to go down
it
there.
It was.
Oh, okay.
It was. They needed to make. They couldn't. When they two lanes go the same direction, you don't need quite as much space to,
Right.
In the middle. So that's why.
All right.
That's
you.
And Lori, both my daughters had you for English teacher at. DVC.
How'd that?
Think of you fondly.
Well, thank you very much. Whew, I was holding my breath there for a minute. That's a very nice compliment.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. All right, let me see if I have something quick I can throw in. The names of these English rivers all have something in common. Avon, Amber, Thames, Tyne, Humber, and just, that was the last one. All these names have something in common.
The names, not the
names,
rivers.
The names have something in common. Want me to repeat them?
Yeah.
The names of these English rivers all have something in common. The Avon, the Amber, the Thames, the Tyne, the Humber.
No idea.
It's a language thing. What do the names of those rivers have in common? All right.
The Anglo-Saxon? Come from.
Do they all have poems written about them?
That's possible, but no, that's not what I'm looking for.
And it's not that they're all Anglo-Saxon in their roots? Linguistic roots?
That's possible, but not what I'm looking
close
for.
Enough. Okay.
No. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hello.
Hi, I have one guess and one I think is the right answer. The highest-grossing film that's not a sequel, it must be Gravity.
It is Gravity.
Oh,
thank you
good.
For getting that.
Very good.
Number six on the list. Very good.
Okay. And then for re-gifting items, this is just a guess because I've done this several times. How about a picture frame?
Ooh, you're right.
Nice.
That's one.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, fun show. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
How about perfume or cologne?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I've been holding, and he just said the question, he answered it with what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I cool. I've been listening. And what about those rivers? Could they all have been used by Shakespeare or playwright?
No, that's a very good guess, but no.
Uh-huh. All right. How about neckties? Because they're an accessory. They're they're not clothing in the sense.
Well, I think if they were to be on the list, they would be lumped into clothing.
Yeah.
No, like scarves and things, they're just accessories to dress up clothing. At least that's my thinking on the subject.
All right.
But that is not it.
That is not it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it was Answers. Pauling was the only one who actually won two different Nobel Prizes without sharing with anybody. The other three that won two Nobel Prizes, but they shared, of course, Madame Curie, and then the second one, John Bardeen, which he did share it with Shockley, by the way, for inventing the transistor, and Frederick Sanger, which just died about a month ago. From last week, the only two elements that are liquid at room temperature is mercury and bromine.
Oh.
Thank you. Happy
Thank
holiday.
You. All right.
Great show.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is that me?
It is you.
Ah, for the longest-serving senator, if he's still there, I think it's John Dingell.
I don't think Dingell is there. That's not the answer.
He's a congressman, not a senator.
Ah, because he's been there about 40 years.
Right, yeah, that's right, a good guess. No, it's not him.
Okay, thanks anyway.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Taking some guesses on regifting.
Okay.
Art or something decorative?
No.
And what about jewelry?
Yes.
Ooh,
jewelry.
Nice.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, time to clean up here. Jerry.
Okay. The only time to eat diet food is while you're waiting for the steak to cook was said, of course, by Julia Child.
Oh, all right.
And the other senator who has the most seniority, aside from Orrin Hatch, the Democratic senator, is Patrick Leahy.
Okay.
And my kind of complicated five-part thing. The movie is The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Forrest Gump, Lolita, Match Point, A Matter of Life and Death, and Two for the Road all have memorable ping pong scenes.
Of course.
Good Night and Good Luck, Grand Hotel, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, My Little Chickadee, The Red Shoes, and Spider-Man. Those were all the last lines of each one of the movies.
Oh.
Airplane, I Want to Live, Moulin Rouge, Oklahoma, Safety Last, That Thing You Do, all have exclamation points in their title.
Oh,
like that.
And the last one, Die Hard, Edward Scissorhands, Eyes Wide Shut, The Lion in Winter, Moonstruck, and The Thin Man are all set in Christmas time.
Okay.
Christmas time.
And Lori?
I have nothing.
Oh.
I'm clean. Yeah, very
okay.
good.
All right. The names of these English rivers have what in common? The Avon, the Amber, the Thames, the Tyne, and the Humber. They all mean river in the languages of their origin.
Oh, very cool.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Thames mean what language?
That I didn't write down.
Sounds French.
But they all, possible. Let's see. Okay. The 10 most often regifted items, just read the whole thing. Liquor, gift cards, fruitcake, candles, cookbooks, jewelry, picture frames, gift baskets, housewares, and clothing. I think that's it. If we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Kevin Vance and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Happy New Year. Have a wonderful holiday and join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
It ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't